my next guest here to talk about, well, maybe some negatives that could happen. How to spot elder financial abuse, Thanksgiving holiday, obviously religious holidays, out-of-town relatives. We come in and maybe able to spot others taking advantage. Let's discuss it with Sean Istone out of the Istone Law Offices. That's not a bad name for, you know, your backyard. Good morning to you, Sean.
Morning, Shelley.
Appreciate your conversing on this topic. So let's get right into this. You say a Thanksgiving gathering can possibly bring up some negative issues. So I'll be blunt. How can a Thanksgiving gathering help prevent an estate plan from failing?
Well, Shelley, the main thing that makes the estate plans fail is when it's kind of a secret estate plan. If only one person who drafts it knows what it is, or if just one person who's going to carry it out knows what it is. And I think the best thing for people to do is to talk about their estate plan and give an expectation of who's going to step in if you're not going to have the ability to take care of your finances, or who's going to be the one who's going to make medical decisions, and how you want those to be carried out so that everybody in your family knows and they can support one another, or in some cases hold the person making the decisions accountable to make sure that things happen the way that they're supposed to do.
Even the bigger picture, Sean, before I dive in, obviously getting together for Thanksgiving, do you recommend that the family discuss these type of things?
I think they should do it after they eat, because they don't want to do it while they're hangry, right?
That's so true. Yeah, well, we're full of that second piece of pie. So, sure, we want the estate plan to be well known to all, but I mean, how does a person know if their estate plan is even out of date here?
Well, this would be a good way to have that conversation. If you haul out the estate plan and you talk about it with your family, you can see if it's over 5 years old. There's probably some updates that need to be made, and as far as who's going to do what, that may have changed. People may have moved away. People may have passed away. People may have had changes in their life where they're not able to do what you thought they'd be able to do. The distribution plan may have changed. Maybe you've got some family members with special situations you want to address now, and the law has changed. If you've gone more than a few years, you know, knowing what those law changes are and being able to implement your plan with those law changes or updating your plan if you need to is very important.
What falls under an estate plan?
So an estate plan, when I talk about it, Shelley, mm-hmm. it's the who's going to take care of your finances when you become disabled or when you pass away, and the same for healthcare. If you're not able to make decisions, who's going to do that? And there's various documents. It could be wills, trusts. The most important documents are going to be your powers of attorney for finances and healthcare while you're alive, making sure your bills get paid, making sure you're taken care of, making sure your healthcare is taken care of. So those are the two main documents to make sure that they're up to date and the people know what they're supposed to do.
And at what point should one be responsible for an estate plan? How old do I have to be?
Well, you're just over the age, Shelley. I would recommend...
I was a general type of thing, but go ahead.
I would recommend over 18. We have a special plan for students we discount it highly so we can get the students, get a plan in place so that the families can take care of the students when they're away, and that might be a time to talk about that. We do a lot of that online and through the mail for the students if they've already gone to school. Young parents, if you didn't get one when you're a student, should get one when you're young parents so you can have somebody that can step in and take care of your children. And then just, you know, your whole adult life, it changes through the different phases of your life.
Which dispels a myth that you probably don't have to be in your latter years to begin, you know, an estate plan. I mean, I guess I think to myself, let's see, do I have an estate? Well, I have a house, couple cars, but I need somebody to take care of my dogs there, Sean.
You do.
And cat.
Oh, and the cat now, too. I've seen the pictures of the cat.
Oh, go ahead. But it's realistic, right?
It's realistic. Everybody thinks of it as a death plan, but it's really not. We really focus on life, making sure you've got the best quality of life. Someone can step in and take care of your finances for you, even if it's a short absence, having somebody that can step in. And for your children, even if it's a short absence, you know, a lot of the estate planning that's out there overlooks when you're gone for a short period of time. And we have a special document that helps parents with that as well.
Nice. I want to get a couple more questions here, but I know you've got an actual estate planning workshop at your ADA office come this Saturday.
Yeah, we've got one coming up this Saturday morning. We find it's a good time when families are getting together. We come out of our turkey coma and we present and answer questions that people may have about, you know, how the wills work, how the trusts work, you know, what things people should do to get a plan in place. And of course, we hope that they hire us after that. But, you know, there's a lot of good information that they get just from that. Just maybe get peace of mind that their plan's going to work.
And if this Saturday doesn't work, looks like Thursday, December 6th also is an option.
Yes, that's probably going to be the last one we do this year, Shelley. And you know, people are still willing to think and plan that first week of December. After that, you get into the holidays and it gets to be difficult.
Talking to Sean Istone out of Istone Law Offices about your estate plan and maybe some financial elder abuse red flags, which I've got a couple minutes to discuss. But before I get to that, I mean, in general, how can a family make the best out of the plan? And I'll lead it. Help oversee what's going on in your loved one's life?
Well, if they know what the plan is, so if they have the document and you've told them what you want to have happen, then they can interact. You know, if you've got a family member who's trying to isolate someone that you care about, you know, don't let them isolate that person. If they're blocking people from visiting, if they're being very secretive about finances, if they never had any nice things and all of a sudden they're getting a car or they're getting their house redone, those are kind of red flags that maybe they're taking advantage of your loved one by using their position to influence them and force them to do things they wouldn't otherwise do with their finances.
So elder abuse, red flags, watch out for isolation too?
Yeah, isolation is the big one. That would be if the person is keeping you from seeing your loved one and they don't have a good reason for it. So if you're a horrible person, you know, maybe you should not be able to see this person. But most of the time, the families, they're going to have their bumps and their ups and their downs. And if there's a big change in your relationship with a loved one because someone else is interfering, that's a big red flag that something might be going on.
What's this red flag when outsiders come in?
So that's another time when someone else comes in who's not normally part of your family's inner circle, and mm-hmm. they start getting involved and they get named as power of attorney, or they're going to be making healthcare decisions, or they start dictating what your loved one should or shouldn't do. Sometimes this can be a friend, a neighbor, a caregiver. You know, if there's a new caregiver that comes in and things are starting to disappear out of the house, mm-hmm. that's an indicator. Sometimes it's a niece or nephew who all of a sudden comes out of the woodwork. There's really no one person, but 90% of the people who commit these crimes against elders, mm-hmm. you know, elder abuse, financial abuse, it's typically somebody that they know and they know pretty well. And a lot of times it's just the contact increases. So if there's a big increase in contact and coupled with that isolation, it's a pretty good indicator there might be something going on.
Nice. I've got your legacy ledger in my hand where you do talk about financial elder abuse, the red flags, and there's your picture about attorney Sean Istone. That kind of looks like you.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's a good thing. How is that new location in Ada?
It's a great location. It's right on Fulton Street. It's convenient for people to get in and get out. The parking is easy, and it's been a great addition for us. We've got our main location in Granville, and we've got a satellite up in Norton Shores, and adding that Ada location coupled with our growing staff, it's been great to help service our clients.
Your final words would be what, Sean, in addition to reminding me about your estate planning workshops?
Well, the estate planning workshops are great. We have them throughout the year. So if you can't make one of these two, you can always check in on that. And just care for your loved one. You know, treat them as a human being. Continue to love them and care for them. And, you know, help them grow old with dignity.
Thank you very much. Again, other topics that you can cover, protecting our assets, certainly those IRA pitfalls, long-term care, blended families, and much, much more. What's your Thanksgiving tradition, Sean?
Well, we alternate. We go between my mother's house or my in-law's house, and this year we'll be at my mother's house with my brother and his young son, so that'll be fun to get to play with a little kid again.
Awesome. Thank you very much on behalf of your team and some conversation regarding the beauty of aging. Thank you, Sean.